Hello, welcome to Locked On Suns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sider, and my co-host, Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at eSider. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanClean14. Also, follow our Locked On Suns tour page if you haven't already at Locked On PHX Suns. Your support is very much appreciated, as always. And make sure to give us a five-star review or give us a review of any kind on iTunes. Or your reviews are very much appreciated over there. So, Brendan, we're going to be starting live from Talkers Resort Arena. The Suns won tonight 122-113. It really wasn't as close as it seemed, a nine-point game. Cavaliers kind of made it close to the end there with a good third quarter, but a game where the Suns pretty much controlled this for three out of four quarters.
Yeah, it is finally, I think, what we were hoping to see from them playing this slate of, you know, honestly not very good teams at home. And obviously it's been a slog because they just haven't had the manpower, but to do it against a roster that they should beat. I think you could have said that about Washington and Memphis too, and they didn't get those taken care of. So to see them respond and not lose, I think this season easily could have just become down the garbage and we're done and the injuries screwed us. So it's good to just see them respond like this and up and down contributions from the whole roster.
Before we dive into the Suns' point of view, I just want to hit really quickly on the Cavaliers, because they didn't have Kevin Love tonight, but man, that team is horrible.
Yeah, and they got the Rockets poo-poo platter from the Anthony Melton trade. Yeah, so
former Suns.
Two of them, and both of them reminded, I think, Trevor Buxton and James Jones why they were comfortable getting rid of those guys. It was not pretty, and really not any guys you can point to. It was fun to see Colin Sexton, I guess, for the first time for most Suns fans, I'm sure, as an NBA player. But other than that, if you're a Cavs fan, it's got to be kind of rough.
Yeah. By the way, Sexton had 21 points but took 23 shots from him to get there. Brandon Knight was a worst from anyone from both sides tonight in the plus-minus category with a minus 31 in 25 minutes. So that kind of tells you all you need to know about how the Cavs tonight.
Suns fans feel good, right? Because, I mean, this season's been tough. But watching these other teams come through here and the rosters that they have compared with the roster here, it's like, sure, you could also make the case.
They're not the worst team in the league.
This team, yeah. Suns team, could have been better because of the amount of talent, but that still has to feel pretty good as a Suns fan to be like, wow, we have like six guys better than their second best player.
Like, do you just think about the future? Just at that point, you'd have Devin Booker, but instead you have Colin Sexton as well. It'd just be kind of a weird situation to be in here. But let's dive right into it as far as our free throws. We're going to focus on our free throws today. And there are really no negatives today, so we're not going to have a flagrant fouls. We're going to focus on the positives and the number to watch here. So we'll start off here, Brennan, with our first positive of the game, which was Josh Jackson. I think arguably his best game of his career so far. 19 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 5 block shots in 34 minutes, plus 7 in the plus minus category, 7 to 11 from the field. If this is a usual Josh Jackson game where he stuffs the staff sheet, he usually takes a lot more shots. I feel like it's the first time in a while that Josh is not playing within himself, but he was just all over the place.
Yeah, it was incredible to watch, really. Both ends, getting it done, making threes, just super confident. You could tell he was in a rhythm, in a zone there, and letting his emotions be known every time he made a big play. And not only was he racking up stats, which he's done plenty of, especially around this time of year last year, but to do it and be just such an integral part of the win, especially in that third quarter, as you mentioned, the Cavs, it kind of felt like it might get off the rails a little bit, and Jackson was a huge reason for why they kept it close and or kept their lead and eventually blew it back open in the fourth quarter.
I feel like one sequence I want to focus on really quickly, because I tweeted this during the game. I just, from last year, I didn't even see this kind of sequence from him. You saw he penned the shot there against Brandon Knight, takes down the floor and passes it to Ray Spalding for a dunk, and he does that. It seems like I really haven't seen that. That's like Kansas Josh Jackson. Like, that's what it's supposed to be.
And before that, he had the dunk on Nwaba. All of that back-to-back-to-back like that. And, that's the kind of player you were hoping for coming out of school, for sure. Somebody who not only has the effort and energy to make plays and get in position, but the intelligence and just kind of feel for the game to really take it to another level. And I think you saw both of those kind of collide today. I'd be surprised if he had ever had a game with four or more assists and no turnovers. So I mean, that number right there might be the indicator this was his best game.
I didn't even realize zero turnovers until you said that there. That's really impressive from Josh Jackson, especially 5 blocks to go with that too. Like, that's really impressive. And really, he struggled with fouls a little bit. He's being very aggressive. But overall, I really saw a night from Josh Jackson. I want to hit really quickly on another Jackson point here. 2 of 3 from three, I believe, after missing that three. He's at 39% flat since the All-Star break. Is this turnaround at the shooting legit, you think?
I think catch and shoot wise, yeah. And I think that part of the reason for his overall efficiency increase from three is that he's taking less pull-ups. So it's the inverse of what we've been talking about with beating into the ground with Booker all year, of how important that distinction is. And I think we're seeing Jackson really reap the benefits of limiting how many of those he's taking. Even if it's a miss at the rim, that's a better miss than a pull-up three, because that shot probably will never be a part of his game, and that's fine. But kind of diversifying his shot selection has been a huge help for him, and I think we saw that again tonight. He only took three. I think from what I can remember, all of them were catch and shoot, and they were all fairly open because Booker was getting into the teeth of the defense and then passing it out, and Jackson was the benefactor for a lot of them.
I don't think we saw one mid-range step back jumper tonight, which I think might be the first time ever.
Especially when he's feeling it like that, to not take one I think that does show something. And I tweeted at one point too, it was I think he just got a regular steal and then was taking it the other direction. A couple calves were trailing him down the floor in his little one-man fast break, and he just laid it in. I think might have been his first shot at the game, or one of his first shots. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted that he would have tried to dunk that and probably would have missed it, even in December. So I think, you know, that was another sign to me that he's really kind of maturing. And maybe it's just one game, and we've seen him answer games like this with 0 for 5 and 3 fouls. So fingers crossed that it continues, but there are positive signs for sure.
There's definitely – this is the Josh Jackson game. We're not saying that we're advertising him to go, but if opposing executives are watching Josh Jackson, they're kind of gauging his value. This is the game that you show everyone. If he's not going to be on the team next year, that's the guy. But I think Josh Jackson, if he puts up these kind of numbers moving forward, it's going to be an interesting debate really the next few months of the season as far as his future with the team. But let's go to our next positive, Brennan, which was Devin Booker, who had 25 points, 13 assists, follows it up after going for 59, 50, and 48 by going for 13 assists, kind of proving the naysayers wrong once more.
Yeah, you could tell he was kind of doing it intentionally. I felt like watching it, and then after the fact in the locker room just now, he didn't say that, but I think it was kind of between the lines. That's what he was saying. He mentioned that somebody on the Cavs bench yelled at him like, "Oh, you're not getting 50 tonight," and he was like, "All right, fine." And so I think you could see his play respond in kind. And so I think he had 6 assists and 2 points in the first quarter or something like that, and made a concerted effort to get guys involved. You know, there was one play in transition, he bounced pass up ahead to Dragan Bender for a dunk. Just plays he wouldn't normally make. He would shoot the ball, and he wasn't shooting. One assist short of his career high, but still kind of just a reminder of, I can also do this, you know.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know Igor was glowing about Booker, just saying that he can pretty much, and also Mikal Bridges said after the game, like, he's a very good scorer, but people sleep on how good of a passer he is. He sees it every day in practice. Just how close are we to seeing how complete of an offensive player Devin Booker is? Because I feel like seeing the 50, 59, and 48, then he goes for 25 and 13 on pretty good assist turnover ratio. I think some of the assists the enemy was trying to force there, but it just seems like he's really mastering all three levels of the offensive flow of the game.
Yeah, I've always thought, like, obviously you get to something like 59 points, that it's different. But even above, like, 40-point scoring nights or something, I've always thought 30 and 10 for a playmaker, for a guard, 30-point, 10-assist night, that's, to me, that's just, like, holy crap. Like, the impact you have on the game if you can score 30 and get 10 assists is just crazy, which is why what Harden does is so impressive to me. But I think that this balance, obviously he skewed it too far because I think he was kind of screwing around, but nights like this to me look a lot more like what his ultimate role will be on a good team than the 50. Obviously nobody scores 50 every night, but shooting as much as he did the rest of the week is not sustainable. But when he can put it together like this and balance his game a little bit, not dominate the ball so much, it's like, okay, you can kind of start to see we've talked so much about what kind of winning team would look like with Booker this week, and I think a game like this is kind of, you start to see the mold of like what kind of player fits and how he can impact the game winning, and I think it definitely looked nice.
Yeah, that's for sure. You have, alongside Booker, you also have Jamal Crawford, you have Josh Jackson, Mikal Bridges, Dragan Bender, and Rashawn Holmes all get double-digit points alongside him. So 13 assists from him really helped out there, almost half their assists with 28. So you asked me this off the air before we record, but I wanted to get this on there because I found an interesting point. about Booker being a guy who could really be a 90% free throw shooter throughout his career. He's 7-for-7 tonight. He's really getting above 7-10 as far as free throw attempts per game now pretty consistently. If he's hitting all those per game, or at least hitting like 90% of them, he's going to be a guy who's averaging close to 30 points per game, I think, pretty darn soon.
Yeah, it was something that Dwayne Rankin of Theirs and Republic asked the Cavs coach Larry Drew before the game, with former player Larry Drew, and what kind of how much value it has to be able to not only draw fouls but make so many, and just how much easier that makes scoring. Of course, they're easier points, but so few guys can actually do what Booker's been able to do, and he just kind of sighed. He's like, yeah, I mean, that's what makes him so tough. And so I think it really does, seeing it every night for me has kind of changed it, where I think early in the year I was a little bit like, okay, you don't, why are we making such a big deal about drawing fouls? Like, he would talk about it every night. They'd lose by 30, and he's like, I wish I had gotten some more calls. And it's like, dude, like, what are we talking about here? But then you see it for game after game, just the impact it has on the defense, getting into the bonus earlier, making the defense kind of scared of you a little bit more in a way that they aren't if you're pulling up every time. And so I think it really has an impact on everything more than I ever thought it did. And he's making them. And I think the making them part of it, too. We talk about this with, like, draft prospects of, like, if they're making their free throws, that's a good indicator for their three-point percentage. That should make Suns fans feel good, too, because the three-point percentage is not there this year, but the free-throw percentage is. So I think that's another good indicator going forward.
7-of-7 from the free-throw line, 2-of-9 from three. But like you mentioned, I think Booker's prime for a bounce-back year as far as shooting from three goes. But let's move on to our next player here, Dragan Bender. Yeah, if you want to, we'll take a quick break and want to tell you guys really quickly about our Locked on NBA Twitter account. If you haven't already done so, go ahead and give us a follow at Locked on NBA Net. I know you guys love our Twitter accounts that are synced up on there, but from Brennan and I, that bring you our Phoenix Suns coverage daily. But you might be missing out on a lot of great voice around the network if you haven't already done so. So go ahead and give us a follow at Locked on NBA Net if you want a more national taste of the NBA as we get closer and closer to the playoffs.
I want to remind you guys as well about Homey. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, you know the deal. Check out Homey. Get a great price, just $1,500 to list and sell your home on the market here. This is not a company that's trying to make money off of you. They're trying to save you money and support you along the way. They have a great team and a great mobile interface and all the tools that you will need along the way to really simplify, make it less stressful, and give you a deal that you're happy with to get into your dream home and move on from the last home. To learn more about my friends at Homey, text Homey, that's H-O-M-I-E, to 88588. Again, that's Homey, H-O-M-I-E, to 88588. All right, let's move on here to the other two guys we want to highlight. Really, everybody had a pretty solid game. It was a little bit of an easy one, I think, for them, which is saying something. But Dragan Bender, we can start with here. A guy we've been talking about a lot lately. He's just been kind of really filling his role well and didn't make his threes tonight, which usually I think in the past would have been a real big problem, and he kind of would have gotten out of the flow of the game, but stayed with it and 12-10, double-double. I don't know if he's had many double-doubles in his career, wow, to be honest with you, so include two blocks in there as well.
Two assists as well.
He was he's just kind of doing exactly what his job is, which I think is something that I've really, I mean, I say it and it doesn't sound exciting, like, great, he filled his role, but think about how few times we could have said that in the first half of this season or at any point last season, that he was just doing what he's supposed to do. And I think the rebounding to me really sticks out.
Yes, definitely. You have 10 rebounds, 2 on the offensive glass, 8 on the defensive. But I wanted to hit as well, 6-of-7 on two-pointers. And I feel like that's something I want to hit on just real quickly, because I feel like Bender is being less tentative at the rim. It just seems like he's definitely growing as far as that goes, because earlier in the season, and last year especially, I mean, he would go up and pump fake it and really just kind of look scared to shoot the ball at times. And
pass up dunks.
Nowadays, I mean, I remember that sequence from, I think it was last year when he passed at the wide open dunk there.
Under the hoop and passed it to the corner.
Yeah, that was rough. But I think we've grown past that. I think with what we've seen lately with Dragan Bender, 6-7 from two-point range tonight. Definitely was aggressive, wasn't scared of contact. So a guy who's progressively adding more bulk on his body. Obviously, I think that's one of the reasons why his shooting's gone down a little bit this year, because he's adding more muscle mass on there. But a guy who I'm kind of not excited about, but it seems like he's a guy who, instead of being out of the league next year, unlike maybe Marquese Chris might be, I think he's a guy, if he's not in Phoenix next year, he's going to be on some NBA team filling a role on maybe a winning team too.
Yeah, agreed. I definitely think I never felt like he was going to be out of the league, but at a certain point, it was kind of hard to, it was hard to say otherwise with how he was performing. But I think he's going to make some team happy, whoever it is. I think it's unlikely it's the Suns, but I just think, you know, he's getting better at what he needed to get better at in year three here. So he's the rebounding. That's why I mentioned that. I agree. The interior shooting has been huge, and you can tell he's reading the game and making an actual decision at the basket of, am I going to try to shoot or should I pass? Rather than, it was so easy to defend him in the past because you knew he was, even if he drove, he was just doing that to set up a different angle for a pass.
Catch and shooter, just passes, that's all it is.
Yeah, and now you actually have to respect the fact that he can drive and he has a little bit of a handle inside and he can kind of, he has some footwork to get around guys, which is the mobility that we were all hoping to see earlier. He had a dunk today where he drove from the top of the arc all the way in.
Yeah.
That would have been like the best play of his whole season last year, and he's done it a few times. So I definitely think, and we didn't mention it on the podcast last week, but after the Wizards game, Igor basically admitted, or I mean, it's not anything crazy, it's perfectly backed up by what we're seeing, but he said how important he thought it was that he had to earn it this year, that he had to not play for so long and show in practice and when he did get minutes here and there that he was ready. I think that stretch where they played the Wolves two times in like 3 days and both Holmes and Ayton were out, that was like the turning point. And he's basically been solid ever since.
Well, yeah, that's a really good point to bring up there, because I think last year, I think we've seen subtle hints here and there from some quotes from some players. I think just the old regime, just rewarding guys like Bender and Chris early on when they didn't prove it, was kind of they rubbed people the wrong way, I feel like. Just that's kind of a real improvement under the new regime. But let's move on here to our final positive of the game, and I think it might be the first time in a month or plus. It's Jamal Crawford, who was 19 points, 5 assists. He also provided 3 of 6 from 3, 7 of 10 overall from the field in 30 minutes. Plus 12 in the plus minus category. Igor said after the game that just came out and said, and we've always been asking why is Crawford playing over Melo and Kobe. Now we know why, because he pretty much just told us at the press conference that he trusts him more with the ball in his hands, and that's why he always plays. And especially on a night like tonight where he's really going and he's a rhythm player, plays 30 minutes, really was the first time I've seen vintage Jamal Crawford this season, outside maybe the Milwaukee buzzer beater.
Yeah, the Knicks game, too, with all those assists was another one. But that was three and a half months ago now, so it's been a while. And it was definitely needed tonight. I think that third quarter, early fourth quarter, when Booker was sitting, we talked about it, almost got off the rails. It would have, I think, if not for Crawford making some tough shots, especially three-point shooting. That's even on his best nights, that has not been there this year. So 3 of 6 was huge from him. And I thought it was funny, Igor said, to get more time in the next game, he has to rebound better because he got 0 rebounds today. But obviously that's a joke. I think, altogether, the fact that it came in a win, probably besides that Bucks game, the best I can remember from him.
Especially tonight, really, I just want to hit on this real quick before we go into our stat to watch, because Elia Kobo started tonight. D'Anthony Mel was a DNP CD. Crawford played 30 minutes, like I mentioned. Okobo, though, in a starting role, played 13 minutes. You asked him, Igor, after the game, why he only played 13 minutes, and kind of just brought back to the rookie point guard point. Jamal Crawford's a veteran. It just seems like we were talking more about the Suns are now 18-60 on the season. There's only a few games left, but it seems like Crawford's going to be the backup point guard the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre, and I don't think anyone in this building could give you a great answer about why it's happened the way that it's happened, and I think the real reason is it wasn't weird when Tyler Johnson was here. The real is that there's like 4 options and none of them are great, and so it's just kind of a juggling act to a certain degree.
Don't make fun of Jimmer like that.
Yeah, well, he actually, I mean, come on, he 2 of 3 and whole bench was cheering. That was the most exciting part of the game for the guys on the team. Oh, it, yeah, seems like was Jimmer's 2 buckets. But yeah, I mean, Okobo was fine, and I thought he was fine. He made 2 threes, didn't screw anything up drastically, but basically the way that Igor described it was he's kind of like a role player who just happens to be starting. It's like the Keith Bogans and those Bulls, Derrick Rose things where he just comes in and then leaves. So I guess that's just how it's going to be going forward. I feel like if Igor could, he might just be starting Jamal, but
yeah.
Maybe there's some unwritten stuff about that's not going to be a thing this year. But hey, if it works out, if that rhythm builds for the rest of the year, maybe we'll see some back-to-back nice games. That's how it happened in December. That Bucks and Knicks game were all right together. So who knows? It's been weird that he hasn't been doing it. So if he did it a couple times, it wouldn't be crazy. We know he has it in him.
Yeah, that's for sure. And just speaking real quickly before we go on our next segment, I just found it funny that you were ended his press conference like this. When he was asked about Jrue Fredette, he said, do they play the Jazz on Wednesday? Who Fredette went, he shot 10 times, I think 5 minutes against them. His quote was, Quinn Snyder, Jimmer is coming. So yeah. We might be.
And he said, I'm not kidding. He's going to play a lot. So we'll see how that goes. But obviously, they're doing it. I was telling you, I'm sure people hearing this saw the email too, that Jimmer's, they're rolling out the red carpet on Wednesday for him. He's doing fan stuff. He's doing marketing stuff. Maybe that's the whole reason they signed him. Who knows? They're probably going to sell that game a lot of seats in that one. So maybe it's all worth it.
Yeah, it might just be in for the Jimmer show on Wednesday. But let's move on to our final segment. Before we go on to that, I want to tell you guys really quickly about our Locked On NBA show. If you haven't already done so, go ahead and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcast at. We have so many great hosts every day, Monday through Friday, talking about the NBA, from Josh Lay, Locked On Fantasy, David Lockett, who runs the entire Locked On Network, who also hosts Locked On Jazz. We also have Anthony Irwin of Locked On Lakers, just to name a few. We have so many great voices around the Locked On Network who also run the Locked On NBA show and help out daily. So if you haven't already done so, give us a subscribe over at Locked On NBA. So Brendan, let's start here with our stat to watch for me. I'm going to kick it off here because I wanted to ask Igor this. I forgot to ask him at the press conference, but 12 block shots compared to 3 block shots for the Cavaliers. Just so active defensively tonight. You saw Burgess have 3 blocks. Bender and Holmes had 2 blocks. Jackson with 5. Just those 4 guys were super active near the rim and really helped change the game.
Yeah, that's actually goes in with what my number was going to be, which was 15. That's the plus minus for Rashawn Holmes. I think this would, to me, I've been a little bit lower on Holmes lately, and I was kind of trying to make the argument to you when we were doing our free agency reset episode about, is it really make that much sense to pay him? Because even in an ideal world, DeAndre's playing 32 minutes or something next year and he's playing 16. Is that really the way you want to spend your money? I still don't know, but this type of night, I think, is one you have to like to see if you're thinking about paying him, and had a real impact on the game. And I think his, obviously, 2 blocks, but he's, anytime the Suns win the energy battle, a lot of it, I think, comes from Holmes. So only 2 of the 12 blocks. Obviously, Jackson had the lion's share of them as an individual player, but I think Holmes really just sets that chaotic nature of the game. When he's really going, you can tell the offense is just kind of like disoriented. And I think, especially when Jackson's also there, those two, that combo, which was working so well off the bench early in the year, we saw that come back tonight.
Maybe it's just me, but I'm kind of liking the Dragan Bender Rashawn Holmes pairing a little bit. Just if those guys stay around, if Dragan Bender's a backup 4 next year and Holmes is a backup 5, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I think it's the same. There was a little stretch last season when we kind of fell in love with the Alex Len Dragan Bender combo, the blender. Remember that? But that was the same kind of idea where you, somebody who's like an interior presence. Len, I think, is a decent defender. I think he just got destroyed so much by Suns fans that we act like he's a nothing player. He's actually solid. I think he's a backup big in the NBA. And so you give Bender somebody like that who has that, kind of balances everything that he's not, which I think Holmes does even better than Len. And I think that balance works. So I'm not going to let myself get talked into Bender sticking around next season. Yeah. I'm just going to say goodbye to it so our listeners can not have to hear me talk about it anymore. But I agree. It does look good.
Yeah, I officially set off Dragan Bender Island a couple months ago, but I have to admit that this is pretty fun to watch for him, just as far as growth goes, is to see that and wherever he lands.
We'll be an all-star with the Spurs, and we'll just remember the glory days of the 3 weeks here in March where we saw some little twinkles that he might be good.
Yeah, Bender's own version of March Madness, as I would say. But anything else as far as tonight's team? Really quickly, a number I just noticed, 54.8. I think that's one of the higher percentages as far as field percentages goes for the Suns in a win this year or any game total this year. Maybe, I think the Mavericks game was over 55%. That's home opener, but I think that might be it.
Yeah, not common for, especially for this team. That's just the Cavs defense was garbage tonight, and they were playing zone, and I don't know what happened to Tristan Thompson, who was a factor in a finals like 3 years ago, now can't even defend the Suns. It's very odd. The other number that I would say we can close with would be 28. Most assists that I can remember in weeks, if not months. Wow. So nearly to that 30 number that was a pipe dream, but that was the number that Igor talked about so much early in the season. They've rarely gotten there, but this is the closest they've gotten in a while. And obviously when Booker gets nearly half of that on his own, it's a little easier. But the ball was really moving, and the pace was nice. The pace was where they wanted it to be, getting up and down the floor. So everything was working on offense.
All right, anything else you want to add as far as tonight's game goes?
No, it's fun to see a win, right? I mean, yeah, probably not going to see one on Wednesday. So good to see one against a team that they should beat.
Might not see a win, but we might see the Dreamer for that show. So that's might be the yeah, that's a we'll end it on that, folks. So appreciate you listening, and we'll be back to you guys tomorrow for our next episode.